Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gridiron Japan. And on the day where the spring baseball high school tournament is starting, it is John, BJ, and I sitting here. We're talking football, and we're talking spring football especially, and we are not talking XFL in the United States, thank God. So, but we are talking X-League. We are talking spring games. And John, where do we start here? We got a lot of football coming up here this month and next month and the following month. And I think for all three of us sitting here in Japan, it's going to be, we're going to have our weekends full of football that we don't have to adjust our sleep for.
Absolutely, Greg. You know, we have the change of status of COVID in Japan a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, actually, I think the status changed pandemic to the same lower level as seasonal influenza. So that's brought about a lot of changes in sport in Japan. Obviously, rules about masking and stuff are much more voluntary now, and cheering is back at sporting events, and any kind of restrictions or barriers are more or less gone in almost all sports. And another thing that's resulted is the comeback of spring football, as you said. For those who don't know, Japanese football season is the main season for both university, high school, and X-League and other semi-pro leagues and amateur leagues is autumn, the fall, like it is in the States. But Japan's preseason is normally run in the spring as basically a mix of one-off challenge games, mini regional tournaments, and scrimmages. So they do a spring kind of preseason with a lot of mini tournaments. Then there's a gap generally in the summer, and then the main season starts in the fall. So the spring tournaments, they've been on hold over the last 3 years because of COVID. So they're back in full force for the first time since 2019, the Pearl Bowl, which is the main one up here in Tokyo. And then there's the Green Bowl down in Kansai, the Osaka area. And because there are fewer teams down there, it's a smaller tournament. And then there are various tournaments called the Junior Pearl Bowl, the Green Bowl Challenge, the Spring Bowl. And then there's one-off games, the Amagasaki Bowl and the Kobe Bowl. The Kobe Bowl actually is an interesting one because that normally pits one of the bigger Kansai teams like the Panasonic Impulse or the Challengers or Elecom Finis against a college team. But for whatever reason, this year, it's two X-Leagues. X-League teams and Fujitsu are going down to Kansai to play Panasonic. So that will be one of the last games. That's June 10th, Panasonic and Fujitsu, a rematch of the Rice Bowl, of course. Although you probably won't see a lot of the starters, especially on the Fujitsu side. But yeah, we're back. We have spring games all over the country at all kinds of levels. BJ can probably talk more about how serious each team takes it. As I said, Fujitsu tend to rest a lot of their starters. Some of the smaller teams tournaments more seriously. But, you know, they're fun. And you get to see a lot of the new players who are on the teams. And you can see, like, maybe a little bit of the new system. So basically preseason football, but with silverware.
Yeah, that's kind of like a testing ground, too, it sounds like, for each of the teams. I mean, preseason, but also, you know, probably good place to try new things and new things, especially new things in the playbook.
Yeah. So, BJ, I mean, when you were at Hobic, what was it like? What was the difference between the spring and the fall season, or how did it go?
There was no difference. Everything was, we got to win. And I mean, like, you know, and it was funny, I was having a conversation with, you know, my new boss, but Mori-san, when I asked him, you know, the old, they're the Tainai Deers now, but when they were the old Kajima Deers and they were Lixo Deers, I asked him, I was like, hey, Mori-san, what was your approach in the spring? And he was like, oh, I just wanted to work on fundamentals and get my young guys in. He's like, I never really made a game plan. We just kind of went and played and kind of just saw how everybody was feeling, how guys were moving, the young guys, what are some of their strengths? What are their weaknesses? But when we were at Obik, like, it was like every game, it didn't matter if we were playing like Fujitsu or if we were playing, you know, with all respect, like the Lions, or I remember we played like the Cranes 1 year, like we had game plans and all this stuff. And it was just a different feel. I think from what I've heard around, you know, like, yeah, we had Yeah, like, you know, you said about Fujitsu, right? Like, I think they would play maybe some of their starters one quarter and pull them. And some wouldn't even play at all. You know, I know, unfortunately, one time we played Fujitsu in the spring, and it was after Trayshawn had had his MVP season, and he tore his ACL. And I think after that, it was really, you know, for Fujitsu, they were like, yeah, we're not going to play any of our guys.
I was at that game. I think that was the last maybe X game I was at on the sidelines for. It was 29.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was 2018, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what happened in that game was Trayshawn was just back from the States, wasn't back in full flow or full thing. Mm. And like you said, Fujitsu were just playing the backs. But I think you guys have started if I remember correctly, that game you were like kind of putting the hammer down on them, and you'd score like maybe three touchdowns or something like that. And you were kind of giving them a little bit of a beat down, and then maybe pride got stung a little bit. So they started throwing back in players that weren't really ready. That's what the way it looked like from here. So I think Trayshawn wasn't ready to go, but they wanted him. And you saw what happened.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't ever want to see anyone get hurt, but you know, it's definitely, I mean, just from a player standpoint, even for myself, it was always hard, because when I was young, I want to play football. I want to go out there and hit and stuff like that. But at a certain, after like my first two or three years, I was kind of looking at it like, okay, how important is this, like, to win it, right? I mean, I couldn't even, who won the Pro Bowl in 2019? Was it us? Did we win it?
2019, so you went... The semifinal, I think, was the last one. I was on the sideline, I think, the last photo.
Yeah,
I took.
We won that one. Yeah, 2019.
You went
to
Tokyo Dome and you played, was it IBM maybe?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. See, so to just right there, the fact that we won the last Pro Bowl, I don't even remember that, because to me, it's not very high up on the, you know, the block, right? The right. Well, what's the Rice Bowl now, right? The old JXP. That was always kind of the big, you know, throne that I want to stand up on after the season. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Pro Bowl, but it's a good, you know, it's a good for me. I always looked at it as like, okay, we have a lot of rookies. Let's throw them in the fire and let's see what we got, you know, because that's how you find diamonds in the rough, right? You know, I've seen a lot of guys throughout the years where they don't get the opportunity because, you know, the coaches don't think they're ready and all this and all that. And, you know, we're throwing the whole playbook. When I was at Obit, we'd throw the whole playbook at these kids in a month. And I'm like, okay, you know, but you know, you're kind of drowning them, but just let them go play football and see what you have. And, you know, a lot of teams have been taking that approach with how the Pro Bowl is played throughout the years now.
There's actually a couple of, so you're obviously correct in everything you say there, you know, so it's even hard to remember the results of games I've seen myself.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have football, you know, after the break in the spring.
Oh, no, yeah.
The weather is usually pretty good, so it's enjoyable. There's a few really interesting things with that Pro Bowl, especially. So that's an eight-team tournament. Basically starts as a quarterfinals. And the way they work that is the quarterfinal losers on both sides of the bracket play each other the second game, and the winners play each other, obviously. And then there's other challenge games. So there's a few interesting ones. One is the first ever game in Tainai, which is Niigata. That's going to take place. That's Obik's first game. They're going up to Tainai to play the Deers in the first game in Niigata. And unfortunately, Aaron Ellis, friend of the podcast, who's currently in Austria preparing for his season, or playing with the Telf Patriots, I think it's the name of the team there. He won't be back for Dentsu until the fall, so he's going to miss his team's first matchup with Fujitsu. I don't know if he got advanced. That's a smart game to miss. Newly promoted Dentsu Caterpillars up against, you know, the Red Machine. So that's the first round game there. And the winner of that, will they play the winner of Silver Star Nojiman? Obik will play the IBM Tokyo Gas winner, and then it'll go on. But another, before I you go take in there. It's one interesting thing is the final is not in Tokyo Dome as it has been in the past. They're just running the fight. So every single game, except for that first Obe Kadir's one, which is in Niigata, as we said, which is on the other side of the country. All
like Kawasaki.
All like Kawasaki, including the Pearl Bowl itself, which is, it's a sign of like, you know, that game was held in Tokyo Dome in the past, but maybe, maybe a sign of how like, you know, it's not that important, or maybe like spending the money on Tokyo Dome wouldn't be the wisest allocation of funds right now. So
yeah, I mean, I think right when we go back to talking about it, right, I think it's hard to probably go and have that game in the Tokyo Dome when you don't know who you're going to have in there. If you have a big matchup, right, you know, you might be able to get fans in there, but right, with how some of the teams approach it and how some of the teams want to go all out at it, you know, I think it's a good move to have it in Kawasaki where you keep it kind of more compact and intimate, regardless of who gets there to the final. You know, you won't really have too much of a, you know, like the visual of an empty stadium.
Plus too, I mean, I would assume, I mean, as with baseball season, might be a scheduling issue too with the teams, with the Giants or whoever else might be playing at the Tokyo Dome too.
Yeah,
but generally they've had us in June.
Yeah, we've
Tokyo Dome is the normal home for that, but
usually a Monday night game too.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then down in Kansai you have the Green Bowl, and that's basically a four-team tournament. You got Suns, Challengers,
Telecom
and Panasonic. So the matchups there is Asahi Soft Drink Challengers are taking on Telecom Kobe Finies in one semi-final, and Suns and Panasonic at the other, and then the winners and the losers both play each other, and those are May 14th and May 28th. And what are the ones? So yeah, basically it's mostly just the teams who are in West Japan just play among themselves,
right?
Divided by division,
and outside of the one matchup, right?
Right. Yeah. So there isn't much competitive stuff there, and nothing is on the schedule that I can see yet, but we often have college teams scrimmaging or playing with
next week,
spring. So even though the Rice Bowl is gone now, you sometimes see it in the spring. I know Lions have played played Nihon University in the past. We've had like
University of Tokyo will have a game against they got a long name now, like Fuji Minerva.
Fuji Film Minerva.
Yeah.
So they
play against them.
And they are actually.
We have a game against them.
They are actually playing a game in Ebina as well, which is down in the south coast. They have one of their first games. That is in the, if I can see, bring it up. Here it is on
the May Junior Pro Bowl.
No, that's just called, that's just a friendly or a challenge game against Rise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're playing Rise in Ebina on May 4th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, yeah. I see it. Yeah.
And Rise are also playing Suns in Sagamihara. So the other thing with the spring games as well, they get a chance to play in some of the locations that they don't normally use for the main season, especially like some of those hometown games and stuff like that. So the Amagasaki Bowl, based in Bay.
Nojima's going to go back to back, or kind of back to back weeks playing.
That's right.
They got a lot of games. Nojima's got 1, 2, 3, officially 4 games at least. Oh, they're going for it, huh?
Yeah,
they're in the Pro Bowl tournament, and then they also have Then they have the games against Fujifilm, and then they'll have that game against the Suns.
Yep, yeah, they're putting in 2 extra games, so
they're
trying to get in a lot of practice, a lot of work. Lehigh Tower, they're one of their American players, has been around. He came over the same year he joined Nojima. The same year, Jimmy Lockray, who's quarterback for Nojima, and Hayden Plinke, I want to say is the
Plinke,
name.
Tight end.
And what was the name? The Michael. Oh, man, what was his name? That's he was a, I think he was like a D2 or D3. He was a defensive back. He played, so they had, they brought him four.
Yeah. He was a cornerback for them.
Cornerback, yeah. So they had four foreigners. But yeah, Lee Hightower is the one who stuck around with Nojima for the five, six seasons maybe. And he's retired. So we're starting to get some of the retirements coming in, the announcements. So
IBM, James Brooks.
James Brooks gone. One of the biggest ones, one of the most important, is not actually a player at all. Fujitsu's former head coach and Fujita.
Yeah, Fujita-san. Yes. Yeah.
He is, for anyone who doesn't really follow Japanese football closely, so he took challengers to a national championship. When was that? That was early 2000s, I think, 2001, maybe. Took challengers, then he went to Fujitsu, and Fujitsu had never won a title. I think their first three or four titles he was in charge of, then he kicked upstairs. And, you know, so he took two different teams to Rice Bowl championships, and now he's going to Kyoto University.
Yeah, his alma mater.
That will be interesting to see, because Kyoto were a very strong team at the turn of the century, but, you know, it's been all Ritsumeika and KG, especially Dan Kansai. So if Kyoto come back, and if he does what he did with the X-League teams and the university scene, that would be a big shakeup. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a good, right? It's a good shock to the system, right? You know, it's somebody, you know, and I've gotten to kind of, you know, when I was getting prepared for the Dream Bowl and working with Fujitsu and, you know, working with Fujita-san and kind of seeing him, you know, it'll be a great experience for the kids. And, you know, I think it'll be really good for him to get back to the college level and kind of have that impact there, because it'll be a good jolt, right, to into the bloodstream for them, because, you know, they have a lot of talent. You know, you'd see like a lot of individual talent come out of Kyoto. But now you're going to have somebody who's, you know, like you said, John, right? He's taken two programs to success and kind of created the monster that is Fujitsu. And now he's going to go to Kyoto and hopefully revive that. And maybe, who knows, right? Because KG is going on, a five-peat right now, going for six in a row. You know, and a lot of people always complain, oh, we're tired of seeing them in the race, or the coaching, we're tired of seeing them. I was like, well, somebody's got to stop them then, because if you're not going to stop them, you can't complain about it. So, right. You know, I hope he can bring Kyoto, who has probably one of the coolest nicknames in all of football here, in my opinion. I mean, gangsters, you know, that's hilarious. But, you know, I would love to see them come back and possibly competing with the Ritsumen Kans and the KG and the Kandai.
I just remember the name of the quarterback, the cornerback came over with Lee Hightower. It was Michael Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Mikey.
Ashland.
Yes.
Ashland. It was the D2 team, not D3. Sorry.
Yes.
D2 cornerback. That's right. Yeah.
Mikey. I remember. Yeah.
he was just 1 year with them, but.
He was. Yeah.
Lee Hightower. Yeah. 2018. So they brought in. So 2018, 19, 20, 21, 2. So six seasons. Six would have been with them. So, a lot of retirements, a lot of changes, as we expect every year. Teams are doing their tryouts as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of change to come, so it'll be interesting to see. You know, you don't, one thing with the spring season in Japan, a lot of the foreign players in recent years have tended to come in the summer. So even though they might be here, they're not, their visas wouldn't be processed or stuff like that. Right. So you don't see a lot of the new foreign players who come in.
Yeah.
New American playing in the spring that much, you know, but it depends.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting, because the landscape is going to change in a lot of ways. I'm expecting possibly, so if we can run down, so, you know, you're talking about Nojima, from some of my sources, I'm thinking they're going to have, I think they're only keeping their quarterback from what I've heard.
Kurt.
So Kurt is, and Lee stepped away. He retired. I don't think they're retaining the other two. So they're gonna have three new Americans.
Challengers, all challengers players are gone. Robert Johnson, another, you know, standout.
I thought they were keeping Garrett.
Maybe Garrett. Yeah, that's,
I think Garrett is the only one that they've kept. I know Robert. Yeah, that Rojo is gone. Panasonic is going to get a new quarterback, possibly a new receiver, and Obik's getting a new quarterback, and they're moving Jason Smith to cornerback.
I thought Jason was gone. No,
no, they're moving him to corner.
I thought they released him. We're hearing all these. These are all like, rumors and inside information. Nothing's ever official.
They didn't want him to play quarterback.
Yeah.
But then he offered his services at corner. So
he's not going back to receiver?
Nope.
Where he played all the time and where he played at IBM. He's going to another new position.
Yep.
You bring in a guy from Auburn and you play him at every position except the one that he actually is, you know.
Yeah. We'll see, right? We'll see what that looks like with Obik, you know, with their new regime and stuff like that. I know. Yeah, so they're going to bring in another quarterback. From who? From where? Who knows, right? IBM, I think, is going to have three new guys. And we're possibly looking at, you know, Silver Star. Are they going to add a guy here and there? Because they had two slots, right, that are open.
You said IBM's adding three?
Possibly.
I suppose they got two defensive slots. Who do they have on offense? Just John. They didn't have a American. They just had John. So they got, John's.
Well, they had Presley, but I haven't heard anything about them bringing him back.
Yeah.
So... you know, and Brooks retired and went back to Europe probably for good. And I don't know if they're bringing back Mike. So we'll see, you know. Yeah. And it's funny, though. I know John Stanton, and I know he won't mind me telling me this story. And I remember we were talking about, you know, leading up to the Dream Bowl. And I told him, you're going to be done after this one? Because he asked me, he's like, are you really done after this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm done, 100% done. And I was like, what about you? And he's like, we'll see after the game. And, you know, he didn't really get a lot to play a lot. And he didn't really kind of, I don't think it satisfied him enough. So I remember, like, I messaged him maybe a week after the game. And I was like, yeah, I look forward to seeing you play in the fall, man. He just sent me like this. He sent me all these laughing faces. He's like, how do you know? I was like, dude, I know you. Trust me. I was like, I'll see you in the fall.
I don't know who was telling me that there's some Michigan.
I've heard that rumor floating around that supposedly what's his name, Shea Patterson.
Yeah,
somebody's probably trying to shop him. He's shopping around maybe in Japan now.
But I don't know if he's actually eligible. That's the other thing, you know. And I think
he signed
with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders the day after those rumors were floating around about him coming to Japan. So we'll see. You have a lot of players.
How does that work? I wonder how that works now with the X League. Is there any like official rule with that now that there's kind of a CFL connection?
So they don't release, obviously, these things or this information. So we just get to, you know, there aren't the press releases with a lot of these decisions until, you know, sometimes they never come out, but. The rules that we know of are that if you've played on a regular season game in the NFL, CFL, then you are no longer, if you're on a game day roster in the regular season, you're no longer eligible for the X League. Although that just, if you're a Japanese player going from the X League to the CFL or one of those things, that's exempt. So with like guys like Jarrell Presley, who,
only played preseason.
10 NFL teams or something like that, but like he never actually played in a regular.
He was never on a game day roster.
Yeah, he never played. A gray area, but like exactly what the rules are. And we've heard these things about how they're changing a lot of the rules this offseason that players can no longer transfer to a higher ranked team, a team that finished above their old team. I don't know if that actually, there's a lot of.
Oh, it went through.
They might do it. Yeah.
That went through. And then another one that I found out that actually is it was a rumor for a while, but I found out it actually got put into action. Is so if you move from one team to the other, your new team can't pay you more than your old team was.
Wow.
So essentially, right, like the way the NFL free agency, right, like with like non-restricted or whatever, all that, how that works, right, with where if somebody offers you something that your old team can offer you more or something like that, basically somebody can like offer you more money to pull you away from your old team.
Yeah, so, I guess what they're trying to stop is like players coming in to some of the lower ranked teams doing well.
So everybody can blame Obik for what happened because of what Obik did last year when they brought in like six Americans all at one time.
Yeah. Well, you want to blame Obik anyway.
Essentially that's where the rule came from.
Yeah.
Because of what they did last spring with bringing in six guys from all over, and because the X League was looking at them like, yo, what the hell are you guys doing? You know,
they one of the guys that they brought in, that the guy from Ellicom, Sean Draper, I just saw yesterday or today, maybe he didn't renew his contract. So, or his it was a strangely worded thing, like the contract is not renewed, so I guess he's gone. I don't know if he's gonna go to another team. I think he was with Tokyo Gas as well.
He played at Tokyo Gas for one year. Played at Obik 1 year. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the maximum for teams.
Here's the thing at Obik for all of you guys: don't make all X because they'll release you the next year.
There's no bitterness at all.
No, none at all. Not at all.
None at all. And I'll never. I won't hold that.
No, it's you're being completely objective and clear-minded about 100%.
Objective, well, but Sean based on experience.
Sean made all X last year.
Yeah.
After he hasn't made all X in a long time, at corner. So, I think he's made it at returner a few times, but it's been a while since he's gone back to
Obik. Obik is all change, right? All the new coaches in and change, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's all former. Yeah, it's like the old guard. I think we talked about from back when they had their four-peat. So you know, I think they're trying to see if that magic can kind of come back. And you know, I mean, for all the guys, I hope so. You know, I hate, you know, but they've lost a lot of big pieces. You know, I think the biggest piece was their captain, Masaki Sato.
Oh yeah.
He stepped away from the team, and I think that'll be a huge piece to lose. That guy was, you know, he was a great leader and things like that. So yeah, we'll see. And obviously we get to see the first time that what that looks like all in Niigata.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where they're going to play that game yet. That has just the date is announced, but the location or time is not announced.
Yeah.
And for those who are really unfamiliar with the way Japan is laid out, Niigata is on the opposite side, on the Sea of Japan side. So now with that move for the team, let me ask you this. Are the players, I mean, they're moving cities more or less, correct?
So
what are the logistics involved?
That's a 10-year kind of project.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They're still based in Tokyo, and they're still playing, like, practicing
piece by piece.
Same ground in Tokyo. They're playing that one preseason game. So they're doing that's about a 3-hour Shinkansen, I think it is, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, depending on where the location is.
What they're doing, so that city is now the sponsor of the team.
Right.
The long-term plan is that the team would move to that city. So for people who don't know, basically almost all teams in Japan are located in the Tokyo and surroundings, or Osaka and surroundings, kind of those two areas. Fukuoka Sun's obviously down the very south of the country. They've come up, and so that's like a third location, basically. But basically, the two main metropolitan areas in Japan, the Tokyo metropolitan area and the Osaka metropolitan area, is where almost all teams are based. But Deers, like you said, they lost their sponsor, and then they were a club team for a while, and now a city on the other side of the country decided to sponsor them. So they're working on the arrangement there, and the deal, when they announced it, the hopeful was like the team would fully be located in that city within the next year. So But because the players are obviously not professional and they're all working, you know, day jobs.
Yeah.
You couldn't actually have
families.
Because they're not full-time paid professionals. And so what they'll probably do is they'll do promotional visits there. They'll do occasional games like the one they're having, the first one this season. Spring, they'll probably try and do at least one, maybe regular season game there, I guess. And but logistically, it's very difficult because even with Fukuoka Suns, who are in Fukuoka, they only get one game a year, I think, in their home ground. So they have to travel.
I was just curious about the logistics of that when you know the town decided to sponsor the team. How eventually, you know, because obviously traveling in this country by Shinkansen is not a cheap as I quickly found out here when we were planning our trip to Niigata. So I'm like, oh, that does. And then again, goes, and I was thinking about the team moving. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's a huge. So, but like you said, if the city is sponsoring them, so a lot of that stuff's already probably been worked out.
Yeah, but, I think it went from like a short term to like, this is going to take some time.
Right.
Talking with Ian, I think they're looking at relocating sometime in 2028, 2029.
But we have, before all those spring preseason games take place, we have another one coming up, the Masters Bowl.
Yes, we do.
For
Greg's generation.
Oh. I would dispute that, but
the rosters yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players. Don't dispute it. There's a lot of
players. No, I'm not.
A lot of players on that. Those teams are older and significantly older than you are. So the Masters Bowl, for people who don't know, is the Senior Football League Championship in Japan. So there are a couple of minor leagues that are for veterans of X-League and college teams. And the Senior Football League is a three-team league that hasn't held a championship game since pre-COVID. It was 2019 was the last one. The three teams are the under 59ers, the over 40 Legenders, and the Tokyo Bay G-Gulls. I get to see the under 59ers practicing almost all every weekend. They're up before a team that I am involved with, but it's interesting because there's a range of college and defunct X-League team jerseys and helmets, and it's such a mishmash of logos, like during practice, like really nostalgic. But you have a lot of the legends of the game from the, you know, 80s, 90s, and literally from the 80s and 90s in Japan college and amateur league. So they're still playing. So we were saying before we came on here, and I think we've mentioned it before, there are people who are playing football since the Steel Curtain, the Pittsburgh Steelers Steel Curtain defense of the 1970s. So there are guys who are playing football at the same age as those players who have never stopped, and they're still playing tackle football in their 70s and late 70s. And a lot of the players on the under 59ers, Legenders, and G-Gulls, the vast majority of them probably 40s, 50s, some in the 60s, maybe some in the 70s. So they have a small three-team league, and the Masters Bowl is taking place, and it's free in. So if anyone wants to see football for free, it's on Tuesday, which is a national holiday in Japan, 3 days from now, at 10 a.m. kickoff, Fujitsu Stadium, Kawasaki, the over 40 Legenders versus the Tokyo Bay G-Gulls.
Do you know if that's going to be on YouTube?
I think somebody might be streaming it. Maybe it's the Army Foot might be streaming. Oh, they are, yeah. So it's live on YouTube. So Getsuyo Kara Army Foot, which is like Monday Football JP. It's like they stream a lot of games, high school games, X2 games. So they're showing. But
yeah, I remember I messaged my dad the first time I found out about this league.
Mm.
I think my dad had just turned 48.
Yeah.
And I remember I messaged him. I was like, hey, you could sign up. You could be a rookie, Dad.
Dominate.
I safely sent that message while I was in Japan and he was in Hawaii.
Well, I'll try.
So by the time he So by the time he gets back, you know, by the time he gets to Japan, or by the next time I go back to Hawaii, he would completely forget about it. So
this is the seventh Masters Bowl. And like I said, so if you want to catch some live football this week, that's your first game up this spring, even though it's technically kind of the end of the season for them. But Over 40 Legenders versus Tokyo Bay G-Gulls, Fujitsu Stadium, Kawasaki. 21st of March, Tuesday, which is a national holiday, 10 a.m. kickoff. And it is free. You can just go in. There'll only be a handful of people, probably. It's one of those things that it's just the players and friends and family mostly. But you could, if you know, you got to watch some football, get some guys who were really good back in the day. And, you know, it's a nice day out down there.
Cool. If I were up that way, I would definitely try to make my way to the game. And when it comes to the other games we talked about, it looks to, by all appearances, that those games are going to be available on the X League TV website. If I'm reading that right, because it sure looks like it, according to what I'm seeing on the what I read on the website.
Okay, I have a press release. Yeah, X League TV. Yeah, it's on the X League TV. I'm just looking at the press release here, which is in Japanese. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It talks about the tickets in X League TV, so I guess it will be. But those games are, I like the spring season. Like I said, The weather is nice, you know, cherry blossoms, not too hot. It's
That was the one thing I loved about the spring. It was perfect.
And they, almost all the games are played like, you know, late morning, early afternoon. There's only a handful of them are at 5 o'clock. That's the latest one. So those are good, because like BJ said, you can see the new guys, you get to see a lot of you might get to see a few of the new imports if they've sorted out the visas, but you know they're preseason, but they're preseason with a bite, because you do have some of the teams, like even some of the top teams take them much more seriously.
Kind of like the old days in the NFL where when they played 6 preseason games, and you know, as a kid, I'd watch some of those games, and they were going full speed. Those games to them counted in the standings to them.
Yeah. And if you are in Kansai, the Kobe Bowl is the one obviously you want to see. That's on June 10th, 2 o'clock kickoff at Oji Stadium, Panasonic and Fujitsu, you know, the top two teams in Japan the last couple of years. Teams that have met in the championship game. Getting to see them face off in the spring is extremely rare. I don't know if they've ever actually faced off in a spring football game.
Not that I remember.
No, and because normally you don't have the teams from the two different parts of Japan playing each other in the spring. College teams do. That's one of the interesting parts about the college spring season. The Kansai and Kanto college teams, which never get to face each other in regular season play, do actually play each other. So BJ obviously is with Tokyo. I know.
And our first game is actually against Kyoto.
Kyoto, team that we talked about earlier. So
And that'll be our first game in May 28th.
Okay. What's your schedule, BJ? Who else are you playing in the spring?
Shoot, you're gonna have to give me a minute to look all of that up.
So actually, BJ's team is Tokyo University, and and Kyoto is. So that's kind of the Harvard and Yale of Japanese academics. They are the ones that produce all the Nobel Prize winners and the prime minister. So like they're the two top academic universities in Japan. Kyoto Gangsters are traditionally a very strong, reasonably strong. They've won the Koshien Bowl. Tokyo are an improving side. Obviously, they've brought in some big names on their coaching staff. BJ included. So that should be an interesting. That's always that's a kind of a rivalry game. Maybe not a football rivalry game, but a college rivalry game.
Yeah.
It's all two big public universities.
So. Yeah. I can't. I'm probably going to have to go through all kinds of stuff to find it. But I know we'll play Kyoto. I know we'll play Fujifilm Minerva. I think we have one more, at least on schedule, like official game. We have one more. And then I think we'll have like a scrimmage in there, here and there, where kind of just like I guess more of a joint practice than anything else. Yeah, we've been having a couple of joint practices with some Division II schools and things like that. So it would have been good for our kids, you know,
what helping, is the approach, BJ? So you were saying Seagulls obviously took things very seriously. What is the approach for the college teams for the spring? Or for Tokyo, anyway, I guess, because you only know.
Well, yeah, I guess for ours, it's, you know, and I mean, I have 10 D linemen. Mm. Only two of them have game experience.
Okay.
So the other eight, I am throwing them in the fire. So, you know, my guys who are probably most likely going to be, you know, right now, they're probably my best four. I'm going to play them for maybe a quarter. And then the other eight guys that need that game experience, I am going to just rotate them in and out as much as I can. Okay. Because there's nothing, you know, we can practice and we can do all these drills and we can do all that, but game experience cannot, you know, you can't get enough of that.
Right.
So if I can get these kids if you look at, I have one lone senior, he only has 4 years of football under his belt. Technically, okay. This is his fourth year of football. Some of my sophomores, you know, they learned football only last year and, you know, never played a game in their lives. So I'm just going to throw them in the fire. And, you know, the way I tell them, talk about it, because some of them, you know, they get antsy and things like that. I'm like, look, at the end of the day, if there's one thing I just want you to do, just run to the ball and tackle the guy with the ball. Like, don't get in your head too much about things. I was like, just run around as fast as you can. And that's all. I care more about that than anything else. We can work on technique. I can work on this, but effort cannot. I can never preach enough about effort. So, because I don't want and there's a lot of, we have a lot of, throughout the whole team. I mean, you know, we have a lot of young players who don't have much game experience. So that's going to be the approach, just trying to get them those game reps that we can't replicate in practice.
I'm just looking at the Kanto, which is the Tokyo area college football schedule. So they have, you have your game that you said. I'm just looking at the second one, May 28th. You're the second of four games that are back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
Vital Field. So if you want to watch a lot of football, May 28th, if you go to Amino Vital Field, which is beside Ajinomoto Stadium in Tokyo, you can watch games at 9:30, 12:10, 3 p.m. and then 5:40. So you've got four games in a row. If you want to spend your entire game,
that's
day.
Usually actually how even the regular season, you know, there's probably, I want to say there's either three, I guess you would say like the top division games. Yeah. And there's like one, like Division II game somewhere in there, either at the beginning or at the end.
I've worked, I think it was myself and Chris Fafu, is like a German photographer. I think it was back in 2017. We went down to Yokohama. And we worked 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, in Yokohama Stadium. I think we worked four games each day. So we covered eight games of football in just over like 36 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
we booked an Airbnb right beside the stadium. And like, you know, because you have to do like the photos and the putting up the stuff on social media. It was just the two of us.
Yeah.
So the game's going on. You're trying to work on the graphics, get the stuff up, get like things on social media for each game. And interview players, and then like, you know, there was, so we shoot like an average of like 4,000 photos a game per person. So you know, you're talking about like 80,000 photos over the two days, roughly speaking, that have to be gone through and edited. So
it's a lot of memory cards.
That was an intense couple of days. I remember it was like Yokohama Stadium. I was just, my brain was like football brain dead at the end of it. Like, you know, I was, all I could see was X's and O's, you know, those consecutive football days, like when you get into the flow of it, it's just like, it's really, I actually like them as insane as they are, like where you're playing three, four games in a row and you're covering them all. It's just like, it's, if you like football, it's something else. But, just one other thing, I guess we gotta cover, which is the CFL.
Yep.
We got talked four. about last time, and we got four people who, four Japanese players got an invite to the CFL Combine, the National Combine. Oh, no, what did they call it? The CFL Combine. I think the National Combine
CFL,
is there.
CFL Global Combine. Yeah.
So the Global Combines are the ones they do around the world. Mm-hmm. And then the National Combine, I think, is the one they do in Canada. And then the upcoming one is the CFL Combine. I think that's just what
it's called. Yeah.
So we have four players who were invited from Japan and who I have just lost. I just closed down the tab.
So we have the receiver from opening Daigaku.
Ryo Miyazawa.
Ryo Miyazawa. We have the collection of Endo.
The collection. The
Sorry, that's an inside joke. That's a joke about the way somebody translated his name. But
we had a fairly notorious site.
Yeah,
notorious for getting everything wrong about Japanese football. So they got
20 names. I won't butcher his name though. But Endo Atsumu. That's from Dentsu Caterpillars. We have Aaron's running back who made him look really good. He's probably really.
it is a team sport after all. So
yeah, I mean Aaron looks good when he hands that ball off to him, man.
Yeah.
So then we had Hanada Hidetora.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just call him Hanada. Yeah. But he's the our sumo guy looking to be. NFL player, and then we have the last one was Kato Daisuke, IBM running back. So two running backs, a receiver, and a D lineman.
Yeah, two running backs, a receiver, and a D lineman. No kickers, even though they said particularly that they were very impressed. They thought it was the best group they've ever seen. They decided not to bring any of them to Canada. Right. So
because they already have the best one.
Yeah, they do up in Calgary. Yeah.
Guys at St. Peter's, we're looking forward to seeing Toshiki in action. Been on this podcast before. So, yeah, Endo, very strong running back.
Mm-hmm.
Kato as well, good running back. Miyazawa, young college receiver. And the former amateur Yokozuna, Hidetora Hanada, who I think we've talked about many, many times, trying to switch from sumo, decided not to turn pro. In sumo, still only 21 years of age. It's just ridiculous. Like, he won the amateur Yokozuna title in 2020. It's now 2023, and he's still only 21 years of age. So he's not even eligible for the CFL draft, but they still decided to bring him. He hasn't enough college football. He's never played a game of football. He was on the Japan team for the Dream Bowl, but didn't get on the field. Has still never played a single game of football, but the CFL, like a lot of people, they just see the measurables, as we say, the speed, power, the get off on the line. I was talking to Nick, who plays, I think it's Gunter, his name is. I forgot his second name. He plays for Waseda University. He's on their O-line. And he was saying, So I was talking to him last weekend. And they said, Hanada came in and absolutely dominated their captain in practice as well, veteran guys. So Hanada has all the tools. He has the power, he's the physicality, but as we all know, football is such a mental game that try and catch up with what people know that have been playing the game since they were kids is always the challenge for him. But he's still 21. He has a lot of raw talent, and they're going to bring him over. He's going to do the combine, I think, with an eye on seeing how he develops over the next year. And he might even make some kind of connection and get into a Canadian college. We'll see. But I think he's probably going to US colleges. So,
Nick, that's probably the only part that's missing to his game, right? Is the game experience, right? Like I was talking about earlier. Because he does have all the tools, but like I said, game experience is something it's hard to replicate that in a practice and and things like that. So if he can get in there and get that experience, who knows, the guy is he's a great athlete, and just seeing him go from sumo to football and having the leap in abilities that he's had, I'm excited to see if he does get that game experience, what it'll all look like for him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for the other guys, hopefully they can show a good, have a good showing when they get to the combine. Miyazawa, we played against him and things like that. And we actually, a lot of our game plan was don't let him get the ball. we held them off for a bit. They beat us, but I will say though, it wasn't at his hand, because it probably could have been worse had he gotten the ball more than they were trying to get in. Like, they were trying to force feed him, but we had like two guys on him at all times. So, but you know, the kid is a little bit talented, not a little bit, but the kid is a threat to the fact that you have to have that kind of attention on him, because if, you know, as a returner, I think he had a punt return against us. Yeah. And I mean, he didn't have a lot of space, but he broke through three of our guys and took it to the house. So
I was going to ask you that actually. Yeah. So the Canadian game is so different, obviously. And we've seen even people like, you know, superstars of Japanese football, like Taku Lee and Omi and those guys not get the chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like some really, really good players that just for whatever reason, they didn't get the shot on the Canadian teams. Like of the Hanada, obviously is not eligible. So it's more of like just to take a look at a really talented person type of situation with him. But of the other three, of Miyazawa and of, you know, Kato and Endo, like, do you see any of them? Like, I know maybe Greg is more familiar with the Canadian game than you are. But like, what do you think of their chances, or which of them do you think has the best shot maybe of getting a place?
I mean, you know, and I want to be, you know, I want to obviously cheer for them and things like that. They're going to have to make a big jump. I will say that. I think one of the biggest things they got to kind of let go is that whole like, oh, you know, they kind of got to go in with that killer instinct kind of thing. You know, unfortunately, you know, things didn't work out for Vicky when he went over for the NFL one, but you know, you got to kind of walk into the room and demand the room. If any of them can do that, they'll have a shot. You know, you can't kind of walk into the room like, hey, happy to be here, you know, hey guys, things like that. Miyazawa's kind of guy, I ain't gonna lie, I remember he kind of had a little bit of an attitude. I remember he kind of mouthed something at some of our players during the game. And I remember I kind of like looked at him sideways like, oh, okay. But you know, if he could kind of have that confidence, he walks up in there, you know, Endo and I don't know them personally. I've never interacted with them. So I don't know what, you know, but if anybody can kind of walk, if any of them can walk into that room and just kind of like, no, oh, I'm that guy, then they have a shot, you know?
Well, and in the CFL too, I mean, you got a lot of guys there that do play in that league with a chip on their shoulder. And the great thing about the CFL, because of the way the field is laid out, the speed of the game and everything, you know what? At times it's more a finesse game. I mean, the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in the CFL was Pinball Clemens and Doug Flutie. And, you know, these are guys that, you know, really weren't NFL size. I mean, Flutie, but yeah, I mean, these guys, if given the opportunity, they're going to have a great shot.
Mm-hmm.
At making it in the CFL. And then, you know, from there, you know, who knows? I mean, they could become, you know, a year from now, we could be talking about, you know, talk about how these guys led a team to a Grey Cup. We just, you know, you just never know.
Yeah, I agree with you both. And especially, I think needing that little bit of arrogance, especially for position players, is I think one of the things I saw, do you know that Kansai receiver, Mizuguchi, who was, he was on the Japan team as well. One of the things I saw was when you did a walkout at the Olympic Stadium. I think it might have been Omi's video, or it was like Katsuyama.
Yeah.
So I remember like they were showing them walking out at the pre-game thing or the day before, looking and examining the stadium. And he walks out and he went, oh, it's smaller than I expected.
stadium, and they were all like, but he, I don't know if he was like just joking or just like being himself, but like, it was the thing I got with him, even though like he had a real like battle with like a physical thing with the defensive back for the Ivy League, but that kind of like not being overawed, not being overwhelmed right. by anything, yeah. like, mm-hmm. like, you know, I belong here type mm-hmm. of attitude, or I'm as good as, or I'm better than anyone else. I think you need that. The Japanese players, like, it's not obviously a cultural trait that's encouraged in Japan, but
yeah.
That kind right. of like greediness or selfishness, or like, you know, want to get everything for yourself and yeah. believe you can do it. Like, that's in football, especially, I think that's kind of needed, yeah. you know. So,
yeah,
I think there's a few of these young kids that have that kind of self belief that's needed, you know. So,
yeah,
it'd be good to see them. Yeah, it'd be good yeah. to see me as
the one thing. The one thing I told, I remember I actually talked to him after the game, and you know, when he had that little scuffle with the DB. How he kind of walked away from him, and I, you know, and I remember I talked to him after the game, and I was like, if anybody ever does that to you, you walk into his face and you tell him, I'm gonna kick your ass the rest of this game. Like, you don't just let somebody. I told him, you don't just let somebody do that to you and walk away.
Right.
Yeah. And I told him, I was like, because you have a lot of ability. I know you have a lot of self confidence.
Yeah.
But it's in those moments like that, you can't let somebody take your self-confidence from you.
Right. And that's, you and know? It beat, then that's, and then, you know, we always talk about how football is such yeah. a mental game. And that yeah. instance, it, the mental, you got yeah. the physical, but it's mm-hmm. that mental part yeah. that you got to.
That kid is going to be good. I'm, the fact that he was only a freshman last year, you mm-hmm. know, and he's got 3 more years at the college level, he's going to be, I'm sure there was probably a lot of X-League teams already talking about it, like, hey, man, you want to come play with us? So
you know what he should dye his hair pink before they go to the thing. Do you know?
There you go.
See the – well, you know, that, I say that in jest, but that actually works. There was a German – I think it was a German player last year.
Oh, it's the – yeah, the color pink.
Because,
right?
Yeah, he dyed his hair pink. And – when you're in front of these talent evaluators and you got like, you know, 100 prospects and they're looking at guys Hums going
you,
thrills,
yeah. like, you gotta stand out, man.
Names and can blend together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, you know, if you have something that makes you stand out, then everything you do is noticed. And actually it worked for him. I think he got a shot early, but that's something that like Japanese players, I don't know if you guys probably don't remember, but the 2002 World Cup, it was one of the members of the Japanese team dyed his hair into a red mohawk.
Nah, I don't remember that.
He got picked up by, I think it was Spurs, maybe.
Yeah, Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham. So, that's been done, like, among soccer teams, especially, right. like, you know, if you're coming from a country where everyone has the same hair color, especially, essentially. Yeah. So, you do something, you stand out and you get noticed, and you don't get noticed because of the hair color, but it draws attention to you. And people remember what you did. Oh, that guy with the pink hair did that, or the guy with.
Right.
So, like, for a lot of these players that are going over, like, you want to stand out as much as possible. You want to grab the attention. And if it takes something like dyeing your hair a weird color or a crazy color or something, like, that's.
Or shooting your mouth off. You know, I mean.
Shooting your mouth off, yeah.
Shooting your mouth off gets you all kinds of attention. I mean, we've seen that in the States and the NFL. Yeah, well. Well, you know, you look at. Yeah, but you look at Deion Sanders, great, great example. There's a guy that shot his mouth off and backed every word up.
Oh,
and, you know, I mean, Terrell Owens, that's my head coach. So, well, speaking
it's not
about.
A sport for shy retiring wallflowers, anyway, that's for sure. You know?
Well, speaking of getting noticed, switching gears here as we wrap up here, John.
Yep.
What's going on, man? I just subscribed to Apple TV today.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of getting noticed, how are the reviews on your appearance on Apple TV? Have you what are the reviews?
Oh, I never read reviews, Greg. I don't care what the people think. I'm not doing this for the praise, man. I'm doing.
I signed up. I'm sitting here before we started recording. I'm like going through. I'm like, hey, T-Mobile, free Apple TV. Oh, I can finally get around to watching John. So that's going to be the first thing I watch if the episode's out now, right?
Yeah, Apple TV.
Okay. All right. Cool.
No, that was really fun. TV, obviously, like Schitt's Creek or like million movies that you've watched, like everything from Vacation, National Lampoon's, I think, wasn't he in that as well?
He was American Pie, man.
Yeah, American Pie.
American Pie, yeah. He's been in everything.
I don't know if I said this last. I don't know how you didn't resist. I would.
Yeah, you said it. You said it.
Yeah, I watched you in that.
I'm not
moment,
that generation, like, BJ. I'm the generation who watched them in the 80s and 90s. American Pie.
Well, I'm actually part of the generation when that first one came out. I shouldn't have been watching that movie.
Yeah. Yep. Got to work with Eugene Levy.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, that was so cool.
You know, Canadian legend of comedy. Great guy. Really nice.
He would have kicked me out of the room because I would have asked one too many John Candy questions at some point.
No, I think I did mention this the last time that I wore my Argonauts, my Toshiki Sato Argonauts jersey to the thing, but they, you know, I couldn't wear that on screen, obviously. I got to talk to him for a couple hours. We shot another scene where we were like, we spent 2 to 3 hours in a bar overlooking like nightscape and chatting about life and everything. And even though that didn't make it into the edit, like just to get to do that with someone cool. But so that was something I was up to, but I have a lot of irons in the fire and doing different things, and like, you know, as long as it's fun, as long as I'm enjoying it, I'm happy with that. So
that's all that matters, man. All right, it's daytime, and I know we're all of us, it's about a little bit afternoon here, so we do have to wrap it up because all of us have other lives to get to besides our football life here. Including me. My wife is texting me going, hey, are you coming shopping with me? So we're gonna have to wrap it up here. But before we do, John, let everybody know how to find you, especially with Inside Sport Japan and
so a few of the major projects I was working on that I didn't think would finish until next summer have wrapped up, and some other ones my involvement is no longer needed, so I'm more or less back on social media. So if you want to, so Inside Sport Japan obviously is a company, but my own personal Twitter is John Gunning ISJ. It's just all one word, no underscore nonsense, no hyphen nonsense, nothing like that. So you can just, I'm kind of back for the last week. Yeah, it's good to be back on social media. So
yeah,
I'm spamming everyone with posts after being away for a year and a half.
And BJ?
Yeah, so you can find me. My Twitter is BJBDBATTY59. And then you can find me at my Instagram at Buffalo Soja, SOJA.
Okay. And I am at CFL America. I'm also at XFL America too. And I'm not big into plugging, but I started the XFL InfoWars show for those who are listening, like spring football, that like the X League. I just wrapped up on Monday. Interview with Brett Forrest, who wrote the original first history book really on the original XFL, which is I was surprised at the positive response I got from a lot of people about the interview, because it's one of those interviews, being here in Japan and trying to schedule interviews with people in the States, man, I think the last time I got up that early, I was in the Army. So I mean, it was an early morning interview. So, well, gentlemen, hey, everybody who's listening out there, wrapping it up here, thank you very much for listening, and we should be talking here pretty soon, especially now we've got football games to talk about going into April and everything. So we will be talking to you very, very soon. Thank you for listening. And one last thing, go Japan, because the World Baseball Classic is now moved to Miami, and Team Japan looks, the Samurai Japan looks pretty much unstoppable right now. So hopefully we'll be celebrating a championship here in Japan here shortly. So with all that said, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.